It's so great to stand up and talk after one of Hope's children's times because I feel the pressure is off. She's already given us such a great lesson. Let's be in a spirit of prayer again with the prayer that is on the screen. Lord of hope and light, through our baptism, you call us by name. You call us beloved. We've done nothing to earn your love, and yet you pour it out abundantly. Help us to hear this word of hope. Help us to know that we are your beloved children. In Jesus' name, amen. So we focus again on that scripture from the third chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we ask that these words that have spoken for centuries to so many people will speak now to us. Help us to be open and available to you as you try to embed them into our hearts and show us how we can live them out. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we all know that music is powerful, and sometimes a song comes along that grabs you for life. And what's one such song for me goes all the way back to Phil Collins. Anybody here remember Phil Collins? Anybody born less than 40 years ago just thought, Phil who? And the rest of us may have to dust off our brains a little bit. Phil Collins, still alive as far as I know, wrote some beautiful songs back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And he had a song that was probably not his best known, but it did okay. It climbed up the charts. It was called No Son of Mine. And it's a story about a young man from a troubled home, which he finally just needs to escape. So he runs away. And then later on, when he had experienced some inner healing, he came back hoping for a chance at reconciliation. And his father sat him down and looked him in the eye and said, you're no son. You're no son of mine. You're no son of mine. Well, it was, of course, devastating. And the song goes on. And it talks about the passage of more time and the man living in dread of running into his father on the street, and as he tries again, he's hoping for a different outcome. But his father sat him down, looked him in the eye, and said, you're no son. You're no son of mine. Crushed again. And I don't know why that song had such an effect on me, because my life experience was exactly the opposite. I was blessed with parents who took every opportunity they could to make sure all of our kids, their kids, knew how proud they were. And probably that's it. That affirmation that I cherished was so central to my life that to imagine people living without it is almost unbearable to me. What's clear from this morning's scripture lesson is that Jesus didn't have to. The story of Jesus' baptism after John the Baptist had started this unique ministry of preaching and baptizing in the River Jordan, People came from miles around to confess their sins and to be baptized by John. But when Jesus came, John balked. John knew that Jesus was far above him, that Jesus should be baptizing him, not the other way around. Well, it's a good question, isn't it? Why would Jesus need to be baptized? He had no sin to confess. He had authority above other teachers and preachers. What was he doing in the water with all of the common people? Over the centuries, scholars have debated that question. In the story, Jesus himself said that he came into the water to fulfill God's righteousness, which tells us that God wanted this to happen, but really doesn't tell us much about why. And in the end, the best answer may be that Jesus came to be baptized for the same reason that Jesus died on the cross. He loved us sinners so much that he wanted to stand with us in the water. It's what his life was about, what his love was about. And as we know, it led him to die for us. But at his baptism, an amazing thing happened. Jesus rose up from the water, the sky opened, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and a proud voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, and I am well pleased. This is my child." Now, like many of you, I have been a proud parent. Probably the most memorable time was when I attended my son's basketball game, and he was about 11 years old and had gained a few skills. And when the game started, he ended up with the opening tip and a clear path to the basket, but the wrong basket. So he went down on the fast break as the other team just watched him, and his teammates ran after him. They couldn't catch him, and he made a layup for the other team. Now, incidentally, I texted my son to ask if I could tell the story. And he said, yes, as long as I told you that the basket he made was a windmill dunk. So here it is. My 11-year-old son made a windmill dunk. Everything else I say in this story will be true. But after he scored for the other team, he came down and then he scored a shot for his own team. And that's where the score froze for the next 15 minutes. And a woman arrived late, and she sat just away from me, and she asked me the score, and I said, "Well, it's 2-2. And then I couldn't stop myself. My son made both baskets. See, that's a proud parent coming out. And there's something that's natural about that. As we can hear from the Phil Collins song, it can go terribly wrong. And many people carry scars about this. But most of the parents I've known are fiercely protective and proud of their children. And that's part of a natural process of evolution. This is my child. This is my beloved. And this scripture from Matthew is the story of a proud parent. And the point is that if we, as fallible human beings, have the potential to affirm our kids, how many millions of times over does God's affirmation mean? Jesus, we knew, was going to have to face a daunting road ahead of him that would lead to his death, as we know. And along the way, many people turned against him. It had to be a heavy load to hear all those voices that cried against him, even for his death. But in all that noise, He always had the affirmation of his heavenly parent. And so do we. Because here's the thing. Yes, Jesus was God's child in a special relationship that can only be claimed by Jesus himself. But those words from God apply much, much wider. In fact, they apply to all of us. The Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Romans in the Bible, and in Romans chapter 8, he says this: all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And when we cry Abba, which is the word for daddy or papa, father, it is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let those words sink in for just a moment. You are a child of God. You are a fellow heir of Christ. The will has been read. You are in it, right beside Jesus, the Son of God. And so when we read about this baptism blessing, this is my son, the beloved, I am well pleased, claim your part of that. Because God is embracing you with the same grace. Throughout our lives, we hear many voices. Many of them are not kind. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "You're probably the most wishy-washy person I've ever known. You're really not much use to anybody, Charlie Brown. You're weak, you're dumb, you're boring, you're hopeless. Incidentally, how come I never hear you sing anymore?" Well, many people lose their song because they hear rejection rather than affirmation. Never hear the key people say, "With you, I am well pleased." The good news is those voices don't speak for God. And as much as we know how words can break a spirit, so can the opposite be true. After his baptism, affirmed by those words from heaven and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus then went forward and spread the affirmation he'd received. He spent his days letting people know that God loved them intensely. "Blessed are you," he said. All of those whom society cast aside, he especially blessed. Those who were considered second class and worthless, Jesus said, "Don't listen to that. You are God's child. God is proud. Come on into God's house, God's family, God's kingdom." And maybe it's been a while since you've heard that voice of affirmation. You haven't felt valued or claimed. But don't forget who made you. Don't forget who loved you so much to stand beside you in the water of forgiveness and love. It's traditional on this Sunday in the church year to think about our own baptism. In a few moments, Barbara's going to lead us to do that. As you come forward for Holy Communion and you touch the water by the invitation, be reminded that you received the same blessing that Jesus received in that water. Baptism is such a rich symbol and it signifies many things. But central to it all is the basic message that you are the beloved. You are God's child. You make God proud. And there are people in this place who delight in sharing that news with you. And furthermore, that baptism then makes you a messenger of love. Because just as we are fellow heirs with Christ in receiving God's love, So we are also the ones who inherit Jesus' mission to make sure others know. I believe I can guarantee that each of us in this coming week will be in the same space with dozens of people who are struggling to believe that their life means something, that they are loved. And you may not see that many times because we hide it well, but those fragile feelings will be there. And you, child of God, fellow heir with Christ, how will you respond? Yes, we all have a switch in us that can say, what's the matter with you? But we also have a switch that says, it's okay, you're doing the best you can. We have a switch that says, well, I'm going to ignore you because I'm cool. But we all also have a switch that says, it's good to see you. How's your day? And in many instances, we will never know what difference that encounter made. It just might be healing balm for a person who has been put down and disowned. And it just might give Charlie Brown back his song. Amen.
As we come now to prayer, let us give thanks. Abba, Father, Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we just thank you and praise you for you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hallowed be your name. How awesome you are. How your love enfolds all the world. And you love and you care for each and every one. For we are your children. And you call us. You know us by name. You know how many hairs are on our head. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. And yet, O Lord, you love us so very much. For we are loved. We are chosen. We are sealed with a seal from you of the Holy Spirit. We are forgiven. You show us mercy. You grant us grace and the peace that can only come from you. You call us your children, and we call you Abba, Father, Daddy, Father in heaven. And we thank you, O Lord, for your love as shown through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let us ever be mindful and thankful that we are your children and how much you love us. All praise, honor, and glory to you, Father Almighty.